personnel entering here and also going over to the Big D to seek information. Such facts were being reported back there. It is regrettable that such a thing should happen in a close-knit community such as Inchicore, which I've been in since 1961. Fortunately, I can't say that everyone in this district I've got on fairly well with them. Some of them I just know to say good morning to, others I know fairly well, but I think we've all got on fairly well over these past years, 27 years in Inchicore. Perhaps still regarded as a stranger since some of the people are living here generations. The week was spent then in attempting to disprove or prove the allegations, whichever could be done. There was little point in myself going around here and there, particularly say to the local guard station or the local priest, and asking them what they thought of me. They probably have said, good lad, or you're a great lad, and goodbye. So, a representative of the press was sent around to dig out information, inquire about me and my background in Inchicore. Particularly in view of allegations like this. This had to be done. Not that we could actually disprove, because rumours and rumours will continue, and no doubt will still continue. Now, on Friday week, there again, there is information from a number of people within this Big D that, yes, a tape recording was manufactured in this station here, and that two of our telephonists were paid to make that tape. Again, it is not really fair. They are young, they are 18 years of age, and to name them out in front of people of this district would be absolutely unfair. It would ruin their lives. They are very young, so there's little point in going into their names. But this tape recording was manufactured. The theme of it was to be child molesting, and they were to imitate children's voices. This tape, as far as I can ascertain, was taken by Jerry Campbell to the local priest in the Oblate Church. It's not known whether it was retained there or not, but so far as we know, no one has the tape as yet. It cannot be got. And that was the extent of the allegations. We were met with these, of course, on Sunday when we returned from Spain. DJ Silver and myself were naturally both shocked. But what could we do? How could you answer them just after arriving back from a plane, expecting everything to be working and everything rosy in the garden? You couldn't. You need time to think. I needed time to settle back and repair the transmitter, repair all the damage to the house. Well, not physical damage now, you will understand. The transmitter, of course, certainly sabotaged, I will have to say that. But the other equipment, much of it, barring our car stickers, letterheads and things, all I can say in fact about them is that they were broke down. They were not in working order. We put out an appeal then to the band centre in Harcourt Road, and Fran Quigley of the band centre arrived on Monday with a brand new set of decks and a microphone, and that took us back into live broadcasting again. That's how I can operate now and fade in and out music, etc. A sincere thanks there to Fran Quigley. Yes, he has stood by us. Speaking of the band centre, one of our engineers, of course, John Kane, working in the band centre, and another of our engineers, now again, I can only refer to him as Bill because he is in a responsible job, and to refer to a fallen name on the airwaves would cost the man his job, and that I don't wish to do. All I can say about Bill is, Bill, I am so terribly disappointed. That is all I can say. Granted, you have stood by me when you've seen what has happened. For that I am most grateful. Yes, I am. But the fact that another station was set up and organized and got into working order in opposition to Radio Dublin, there, that is my disappointment. I know now you didn't realize the facts of the matter, but the thing had been done, and unfortunately had been done while I was away. If all of this had taken place, whether there were truth or not truth in allegations was immaterial, if all of this had been brought into the open. A little before I went on holidays, or a couple of hours, that's all it wanted was a couple of hours wait, and I would have been home on the Sunday, and then we could have sat down and talked and all this matter could have been trashed out. And if people were in agreement that such allegations were true, even if they thought they were possibly true, then they were quite entitled to leave this station. Even if they thought they were untrue, then anyone is entitled to leave Radio Dublin. There are no balls and chains to tie people down here. Unfortunately, I am the type that will trust people 100%. Whether from now on I will or not, I don't know. The whole situation has certainly changed me. And who can blame me? Now there are so few people I trust. I do wonder, even at my present staff, it's unfortunate, I do wonder, are they connected with this opposition station? It has changed me to that extent. And hardly any wonder. To leave a house in charge of people, to even leave my own wife on holidays with her sister in Booterstown, because I thought that having come out of hospital after a short stay that she would not be able for it. Leave her and her sisters in Booterstown, and we were all quite happy that this station would operate and continue as it had in the past months. But we were sadly mistaken. On going away, of course, I did ensure that there was some way of contacting me in Spain. Arrangements were made so that I could be got back here fast, within roughly 4 hours of anything happening within the station. But, of course, no message was received. On Wednesday of that week, we left on Sunday. On Wednesday, I checked with the managing director of Sanja Travel, who had been in touch with the company here, inquiring as to how the situation was at the station, and everything was rolling along perfect. When, of course, it was not. Now, Sanja Travel are in absolutely no way involved. There again, Mr. Frank Murray, an employee now, not an owner, an employee of Lasky's of Rathmines Road, had arranged this holiday. And no doubt his arrangements were absolutely perfect. Sanja Travel provided a holiday just. They were not involved. They just gave us a holiday out of the goodness of their hearts. And for the fact that we were doing commercial advertising on Radio Dublin for them. Mr. Frank Tulin of Sanjet and Eric have both been to the station here, and I personally am absolutely satisfied that they had nothing to do with what amounts to a major conspiracy within this station. So there we are. Now we will take ourselves back to the happenings of the week. The other little items I found when I came home. The ESB meter, of course, had been interfered with. Shortly before I left, the ESB had read the meter, as is normal in any normal house. They read the meter and they go away and everything is in order. Now, sometime on either Thursday or Friday of the week we were away, the ESB were telephoned. Nobody has admitted to telephoning them. But they did arrive here on Friday and read the meter. The meter was interfered with to such an extent that it looked like it was being deliberately rigged or stopped, the account being slowed down. Now, there are methods of doing that, quite simply. Having been in the electrical business, I'm quite well aware of methods to stop that, without it being obvious to meter readers and things like that. But then again, this interference with the meter was reasonably obvious to a meter reader. He could hardly miss it. And so he took himself back. Fortunately, he was only a man reading a meter. If he had been an inspector, the station would have no electricity at the moment. So that on Monday morning, an inspector arrived to read Radio Dublin's meter. Well, having seen the occurrences of the week, or heard of them, and what was the situation in the station here itself, I immediately suspected that there was something wrong, radically wrong, and the ESB were not admitted. A check by myself on the meter very quickly showed that a small hole in the side of it, a pinhole, very tiny, not obvious to anyone except for a torch looking for something in particular, was there, and no doubt it had jammed up the gear wheel on that meter. This, maybe a pin or some such item had been inserted to stop the gear wheel, but I'm sure the ESP man reading it was made well aware of it. This brought an inspector along. Now I had two things I could do. I could explain it to the ESP when he came in that I was not here and that this happened during the week. But then again, if you place yourself in the position of an ESP inspector, would you believe it? I had to place myself in such a position, and the answer must be no, I would not. So what would I do? I would disconnect the meter and inform the tenant that he could contact the board and write it, put it down in writing, and when they had the matter sorted out, then the electricity would be reconnected, which is the normal method. That is the normal matter with the ESP. They must stick to rules and regulations. So my only way out was to spend the night in a search of the city, friends here, there and yonder, in attempting to get a cover of an ESP meter, change it so that there is no hole in the side of it. And fortunately for this station, this was done. The following morning, Tuesday, the ESP were admitted. They inspected with a fine-tooth comb. They knew what they were looking for, but naturally it was not there. And they went away quite happy. Fortunately for us. Other items we had thought over on Monday night, we were thinking that, well, the organisation behind the station to close it was so thorough that minor little things seemed to have been left out. All the staff had been drawn out, the transmitter destroyed, the record decks, the tape decks, all of the tape wiped clean, letterheads done away with, car stickers, all gone. Most of the records of the station had gone. Well, there you are, the electricity was almost off. It was certainly thought that it would go. The only remaining item, of course, naturally, was the phone line. So it was unusual that this was still in operation. We didn't know what. We surmised all sorts of things, but our surmising was wrong, because we had thought of different methods to be used by Mr. Frank Murray to close this station. No, an ordinary straightforward axe through the underground cable ensured that we did not have a telephone line. And that is what happened Monday night, an axe through our telephone line. This had the effect of cutting off 50 or maybe 60 other subscribers in the Inchicore area. I had to get onto the post office and inquire. We first of all thought the line was dead, and it took some considerable time to trace it to what had happened. Regrettably, the underground line was part of the Irish Engineering Union problem. It's their place to replace that. That's their type of work. And the maintenance crew dare not touch it. The maintenance crew are still on work. The engineering are, as you know, on strike. I had to personally get on to the Irish Engineering Union and persuade them, unofficially, they could not officially attend to my line, to persuade them unofficially to get someone along to lend a hand with this line and help me sort it out. And that was done. And at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, our phone line came back into operation. And we are glad to say it is still in operation. And that was all of the happenings there. Behind this radio tablet, certainly a most concerted effort to close it down. I was looking there through the papers just a short while before the news, to see what mentions there are of it. I got a quick couple of glances at it. Looking through the people, I see on page 4 a mention of the fact that the Cray twins, well, that the Cray twins are not involved, but that reminded me of the organisation behind this station to close it. And certainly I do personally name out Mr. Frank Murray of Clontarf, working in Lasky's, an employee as such of Lasky's in Rathmines Road, as the genius behind all of these ideas, not the actual perpetrator, since Mr. Frank Murray is so expert at such things that most people don't know the name, it does not ring a bell. Dr. Don of ARD knows, to his regret, what Frank Murray can do. He could close that station down, ARD, for 3 days. Dr. Don has told me personally of his staff being offered £250 to pour water over his transmitter, and he will verify that by thanks to you, Dr. Don. We have had disagreements in the past. Perhaps we will have in the future, but I think we are agreed in one point there. Such attempts to close stations down are not the order of the day. They have brought the whole radio movement of Ireland into disrepute. The chances of it ever recovering are very, very small. Personally, I cannot see it recovering. The only ones who will gain from this are, of course, the Department of Posts and Telegraphs and RTE. And who can blame them for making hay while the sun shines? While this tape there was being manufactured at the instigation of Mr. Murray, when it was made here in this station, the actual voices or anything else, I have not heard. All I know from a lot of people is the existence of it. The only words from Mr. Frank Murray was, when it was finished, is, "We've got him at last." Well, yes, certainly the campaign was so thorough, so terribly thorough, that short, it should normally have closed any station. Such type of scandal people run from, and who can blame them? They do not want to get involved, whether it be true or untrue. And what can I do? I can simply deny it, and that's as much as I can do. I can ask people to investigate and go about and search and turn up the evidence. But unfortunately, the thing is that it's supposed to be children involved. And as anyone will know, I can go along to children and ask them several questions, and they will say yes, yes, yes to. The next man can go along and he can ask the very same questions, and they will say no, no, and no to. Such are children. So where do you come out with the truth? No one knows. A lot of people in this station whom I entrusted with a great deal of responsibility, yes, I did, and I found them most lacking. Our engineers even, certainly our main engineer Bill, I do still trust 100%, yes. Our other engineer, John Kane, I've been talking with John on the telephone, and he has explained that yes, himself and Bill did make the transmitter for the Big T. They made it, they manufactured such a transmitter and set it up and got it into working order. Apparently just a few days before they broke up. Well, now personally, knowing the setup there, a beautifully carpeted station, new aerial, new transmitter, record decks, mixing equipment, beautiful. I find it hard to believe that such a station can be set up and operated within such a terrible short time. No other station in this country has succeeded in doing it. Perhaps it can be done. Perhaps not. That's up to our listeners out there to decide. Again, when I discovered that there was a breakdown in transmissions in the Big D during the week, I did inquire as to what happened when they did come back on the air. And the information was that John Kane had personally repaired that fault in the transmitter. Naturally, I was on the telephone inquiring if he had, just to verify the information I had to hand. And yes, he said he did. He sold the transmitter for money, and he went over and he repaired it again for money. The money apparently seems to work wonders everywhere. It is unfortunate. This station, which is struggling so hard, so terribly hard, for one thing, a radio broadcasting license. As I told many of the staff since, a radio broadcasting license would have been theirs within about 8 weeks, 8 short weeks. They would have been able to hold up their heads and wear a Radio Dublin badge around town and be congratulated. Sign autographs and everything else. And what is the situation now? the telephone calls yesterday there were that some of the people themselves were on the phone saying they were having a rough time because they were wearing big day badges. And I personally had to go on the air yesterday evening about 6 o'clock to appeal to everyone out there to keep away from violence. It's not part of this station. It never will be. And would everybody please refrain from it? It only does the station name bad. It cannot do it good. Young children or adults or anything else are entitled to wear what badge they like. Whether it be a Big D badge or a Radio Dublin badge, they should be left in peace to walk about the streets as such. Well and good, some of our listeners are angry. I am angry to find that I entrusted my complete staff to this house and studio and find that it had been taken apart with a fine-tooth comb when I come back. Yes, I am angry, but there's nothing I can do about it at this stage. So listeners out there, if you support Radio Dublin, your support, by all means, we do like you to listen in, by all means ring us in for a request, but if you see someone wearing a Big D badge, they are quite entitled to do so, just as you're entitled to wear a Radio Dublin badge, just as I am proud to wear a Radio Dublin badge about town. I don't get Big D supporters coming over to me demanding that I take it off. So why should you demand that Big D supporters take their badges off? Yes, I've had some letters back, copies of letters that have gone to the Big D. Yes, by all means write into the station here. Let's know what you think of this station. Let's know what the others think of their station. By all means do that. But do it in a nice, peaceful, orderly fashion. Letters are quite in order. Try to keep the language a little bit on the nice side. Well, not too bad anyway. Some of your letters in this week, now the language, I couldn't read them out over the air. I can understand your feelings, yes, my feelings are roughly the same, but again, keep it quiet, please, please, nice and quiet. We'll attempt to get over this little situation. We may recover, we may not recover. I personally do not know at this stage. Last Sunday, when I came back here, and was left on my own eventually late at night here to do more repairs to the transmitter. There was a couple of minutes when I thought to myself, is it worthwhile going on? Yes, I did think that. The temptation was great to just close up shop, move house and get away from this station, which had such a tremendous amount of scandal about it. But again, I had to think of one thing. Listeners out there, the number is great, granted is enormous. I am grateful for support, yes, I am very grateful. So, the listeners had to come first. That is why I can work throughout a complete week. For 5 days, certainly, since Sunday last until Friday evening, there was no question of sleep. It was out of the question. There was no way I could go. There was nothing. There was no time to go. 24-hour a day operation. Finish working on the transmitter. Work on it as long as I could. 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning. Curl up on the floor of the studio in front of a fire and wait on our first DJ to arrive in, say, 10 or 15 minutes. That was sleep. And then back into action again. Work, answer telephones, answer callers to the door. Granted, there have been hundreds, there have been so many people wanting to help out, and for this help I am most grateful. Again, I had only just two people here, three people in this station. Trustworthy, DJ Sylvian, who had to undertake a really terrible task. She had to persuade the opposition that she was working for them and would continue to work with them and go on the airwaves on the Big D. And I'm sure that was hard to do. They took very little convincing. They were quite satisfied she would go over. And DJ Sylvie walked away in the background there. of this opposition station and elsewhere in the city, gathering information, all that could be. The only thing I asked was that someone would dig up the truth, the actual truth, if it could possibly be got out at all. Young Bernard is what, 13 or 14 years of age, working away within this station, knowing full well that when he entered this station here, there were people watching and taking note and reporting back that he had been here. And when he departed over to the Big D, he was asked always why, what was he doing here. That is the pressure a young lad of 13 or 14 years of age was under. And to him I am terribly grateful. So the thing is, where does the station go to now? Well, today, James Dillon. It's fairly fair to throw out an address. I've already thrown out one man's name, Frank Murray. Frank, certainly the organizer, maybe not the perpetrator in the actual actions, but the actual organizer, the mind behind such devious schemes to close down Radio Dublin. Him I would like to see, but no, he has apparently vanished from. No doubt he is tuned in at this moment. I have heard words certainly that he is running scared. And if I was in his position, yes, I would be. But if it's to be run scared from me for acts of violence, you can forget it. I am not of the type. As I said, James Dillon and Mike Eastwood and Mr. Shea West called to the station last night and again today. Dillon was wondering, did I need the truth out of this matter? Well, I think I have appealed over the radio and to everyone and to James Dillon himself to dig out the truth, if such thing can be dug out. And he arrives along here today and he says to me that he thinks that the accusations laid against me, that there may be some truth in them. That is what James Dillon says today. And I have told him that any information he can gather up, that they should be reported to the local Garda station. Now that is the position in your Radio Dublin. So where does the station go to from here? Well, from here we must continue and continue to investigate. But there again, we cannot be throwing up news all over the place every day of the week. All of our listeners want music to keep them happy, and we do try to provide that. If there's major developments within this station, they'll be brought to you at around 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock on each day. If there are no major developments, we'll run through the normal life of the station. Have plenty of music, the odd few commercials coming in to pay staff some wages, naturally, and to get some further equipment. Interruption there with the feedback coming in on her headphones. You will have noticed we're not back up onto full power yet. The damage, of course, was to such an extent that it will take some time yet to fully recover and get our equipment back into order. With our little point in dealing into delving into technical details and laying it out right along the line. But one gentleman almost forgotten there, a small lad there in the background, you've heard him I'm sure, on the morning show on Radio Dublin, Jerry Campbell, popular in the television club there as a DJ, Jerry living down in an area in which I had a shop at one stage there, I had a shop, a radio and electrical shop down in Thomas Street for about 6 or 8 years, that's going back some considerable time, yes, it's going back 10 or 15 years. Jerry living around there off Pimlico in the heart of the Liberties. Jerry who brought this tape, this manufactured tape, to the local priests and played it to him, this tape of two of our young telephonists here who manufactured it. They are about 18, 19 years of age, but with their voices converted down to voices of children. And Sturry, no doubt, knew. Whether he did or not know that this was manufactured, I can't say for certain. But I have no doubts in my mind that he did. Sturry took this tape along to the Oblet Church in Inchicore here and handed it to one of the priests. Now, the number of people listening to this broadcast are certainly enormous. The priest in Inchicore, yes, I know you are listening at the moment. And you will probably always wonder what is, what isn't in it. How do you disprove these allegations? That is the trouble. Rumours are impossible to disprove.